Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hi, Mike Kapler with Joel Brzezinski, Growing in Grace podcast, where we ask the inevitable question, have you never been mellow, and have you never tried?
Okay.
I mean, because isn't resting in Christ just kind of becoming more mellow?
Mellow. I thought you were like going to just talk, doing something like about a Mellow Yellow commercial or something like that and trying to see if I remembered it.
Well, they call me Mellow Yellow, but I was thinking of that. Wasn't it Olivia Newton-John who sang, Have You Never Been Mellow?
Have you never been? I'm not sure.
Pretty sure.
Probably, yeah. But yeah, the Mellow Yellow, Ted, they call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly.
Well, and I mean, there could come the day, I don't know when, but we could all be living in a yellow submarine for all I know.
That's possible, the way things are going in this world.
I think even Coldplay had a song with yellow in it, but I can't think of what song it was.
I don't know. The only song I like by them is Clocks. Did they do that one?
Yes, they do that one.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the instrumental of that, and I love it. It's just nice. It's a nice mellow tune to listen to.
That's the one with the great piano hook,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's got the piano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I've got that. I think I put that in my phone as an optional ringtone.
Oh.
Although right now I've
I think
got
I do
Toto.
Too.
I got Toto Africa.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good one. I've got A Flock of Seagulls did I Ran So Far Away, and they did a few years ago, they did that song and a few other of their songs with an orchestra, and so I've got the orchestral beginning of that song as my ringtone. I really like that one.
Unfortunately, nobody ever calls me anymore. It's all texting.
No, it's all texting. I hardly.
But it's just nice to know it's there, except for those robocalls or whatever.
You know, the funny thing is that if I get a call, if I do get a call, and it is usually somebody, it's like a spam or whatever. It's
right. Not,
and so I just like listening to that tune, so I'll just let it play. Anyway, yeah.
You want to talk about the Bible?
Well, is that what we do sometimes?
Yeah. You know,
we could do that.
Something you said toward the end of last week's program, we're going to build off of that just a little bit. We were talking about God's love and the having that revelation of God's perfect love, and how so many of us grew up sort of knowing about God's love but not really embracing it or understanding it. What that love really meant for us and how it's interpreted and defined and understood. Catch last week's program. But you said something toward the end of all that where you can have knowledge of God's love, like even from reading your Bible, but there's a difference between having the knowledge of God's love and knowing God's love. They aren't the same thing, knowledge and knowing. Similarities, sure, but they're not the same thing. And I think we build off of that at the end of the program, Joel, to point out that it's really, no matter what we say, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what our understanding of the Bible is, it's really all kind of moot if we're not receiving the revelation, the message of the gospel, the understanding of the truth, if we're not receiving that from the Spirit of God who lives in us. And so I think we want to take a step a little more in that direction and look at an example in Matthew 16. We can also look briefly at Luke 9, but Matthew 16 kind of tells the story perhaps a little bit more in detail about when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? So let's get into it.
Well, yeah, and it just brings to mind something that happened to me many years ago when I was first, you know, beginning to learn about grace, and I was in a church that was teaching a lot of legalism, and I was trying to sort out the things. I mean, I understood grace and the love of God on a general basis, but I was still growing in deeper understanding of it. And I remember listening to a sermon from the pastor of the church that I was going to, and I was, as he was talking, I had my yellow notepad and I was taking notes, and after like a full page.
Did you say yellow notepad?
A yellow notepad. Yeah.
But it was yellow. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
It was yellow. Oh, that's right. It was yellow, going along with our theme. It was a mellow yellow notepad. But and I think I must have just been being mellow because as he was teaching, as he was preaching, whatever, I was taking notes, and after about a full page, I realized that everything that I was writing was the exact opposite of what he was saying. And it was because it was all this legalistic stuff. But it was what I'm getting at with this is that I believe at that time that this spirit was revealing truth to me, even through what this guy was saying. And a man I love, I mean, he was a really, really good guy, but I just think that he was off on what he was teaching. Like I said, what I was writing ended up being the opposite of what he was saying. And if I were to look at those notes today, I would probably agree with those notes over what I had heard him teaching. So anyway, all that to say that I believe the Spirit was revealing things to me, even though something else was being said. And it was the Spirit of God revealing things to me. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I think that going along with, you know, then what we're saying about the love of God, you can read all about it. You can hear sermons about it. You can hear us on our podcast sharing about it. But it's a revelation. It's not about the knowing about it, but it's actually knowing that love itself. And that comes from God Himself. It doesn't come from an external source. It comes from within. It comes from Christ within us. And it's the same then when it comes with other things in life. Like you were talking about this, you know, Jesus had asked Peter, you know, he was talking with his disciples, who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Well, Cap, you had brought this up to me, but I'll start this off with Matthew 16. And I know there's a little bit of background here that you might want to share. But Jesus was asking his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And then here's where Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, so where did Peter get that from? How did Peter know that? We just think, well, Peter just knew. Because of what Jesus had taught, this, you know, Jesus was teaching them these things. And no, but Jesus goes on. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So here we, right there we have that it wasn't preaching, it wasn't teaching, it wasn't a person, it wasn't Peter's knowledge of the scriptures, but Jesus says, my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you.
Yeah, so interesting. So interesting what's going on here, because so many times, I mean, I've talked to people over the years who may not subscribe to, you know, the Christian message, and they'll tell me what they believe. I don't have to go into what some of that might be, but I'll just ask them, well, why do you believe that? I mean, what do you base that on? Well, I don't know. They just kind of shrug. It's just what I believe. And it's very different here with Peter. I just believe it. No, Jesus explained to him, you didn't come up with this on your own. You didn't get it from someone else. This was revealed to you in a supernatural way by God. And then he says, you, Peter, the small stone, the pebble, the little rock, that's really what Peter means. It's on this rock, not Peter, but on this rock of revelation that I will build my church, 16:18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so this is good because it really does tie into what we talked about last week, where the Spirit of God lives in us. He's the ultimate teacher, the leader, the guide, the comforter, always with us, never leaves. But sometimes we sell him a little bit short, I think. Not to take anything away from the Bible, but the Spirit is really the key ingredient in our lives in Christ here. Now, to kind of build a little context around this, now, right before all of this happened, where he got together with his disciples and asked this question, shortly before this, he was across the pond, so to speak, and had just done one of those lunches where there was a bunch of baskets left over. And then it says he got in a boat. It doesn't say everybody got in a boat, so I don't know if they took different boats or not, but Jesus got in a boat, went across the water to a different community, and apparently the Pharisees and Sadducees at the beginning of Matthew 16 came to test him, asked him to show a sign. Show a sign from heaven, Jesus. And then he kind of chastised them for even asking for such a thing and had an exchange with them. Then the disciples come over to the other side of the water, apparently, and they realized they hadn't brought any bread. Well, why were they concerned about that? Well, Jesus said, watch, and when they realized that, we forgot the bread, because they probably had baskets of it left over, right? And yeah, we forgot the bread. And Jesus said, well, watch out for beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And, oh, brother, he's mad because we forgot the bread. And
leaven,
he
right.
said, you have little, what was that?
Yeah, leaven, right. They thought he was talking about the leaven.
Yeah,
the bread.
He was talking. And they realized, he said, oh, you have little faith. Why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Don't you remember the 5 loaves with the 5,000 and so on? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of their bread. And then they understood in verse 12 that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then it comes down to the exchange we just talked about with Peter. Now, Luke also tells this story, but it's a little bit shorter. It leaves out what Jesus said to Peter, like in verse 16, where Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's in there. But then Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That isn't in Luke 9. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. Just a little Bible note here. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It's the story is being told by people who possibly many years later were trying to recount things that happened, and some remembered them perhaps a little bit differently than others. Some might not have put in every detail for whatever reason, or they couldn't remember it, or whatever. The interesting thing with on that note, Joel, the interesting thing here after all of this, both Matthew and Luke tell the story of the transfiguration, where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain and is transfigured. They see Elijah, all of that. They both tell that story. It's kind of interesting that in Matthew 17:1, after six days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on the high mountain by themselves. Luke says it was about 8 days. Now, this is just one of those little things where, you know, some people just think the Bible is so perfect with no no contradictions or no discrepancies or any of that. It's a little thing. But this is just how it's remembered by the people who are recounting it. It doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It doesn't mean that one was... This is just how they're remembering it. So, you know, sometimes people who are anti-Bible out there, some of the atheists and college professors or whoever they are, that they'll take something like this and try and make a big deal out of it. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. If you and I witness a bank robbery, Joel, and years later, let alone maybe an hour later, they start asking us questions like, what were they wearing? What color was the car? How many were there? You and I are probably not always going to, or whoever, however many witnesses were around to see that, they may not always agree on every little detail. They don't remember it the same. So it's not that big of a deal when people try to find these little discrepancies in the Bible. But the other thing I would mention, too, is when Peter, James, and John went up to the mountain, it wasn't the same James that we see in the book of Acts, who is a leader of the church in Jerusalem. It wasn't the same James who wrote the book of James. That was the brother of Jesus. James, the disciple, was a different person.
I like what you're saying there, because people are at every cost will try to make all of these scriptures, everything line up. And then people will point out, well, there's all these, there's inconsistencies in things, and people will deny that. And we're just saying, but there are inconsistencies and there are things that don't line up, but it's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't mean the Bible isn't reliable.
Exactly, right. This is what these people remembered. This is the way that Luke remembered hearing the story. This is the way that Matthew remembered the thing happening. And it's okay. It doesn't have to be perfectly aligned. You know, it's like, oh, it was about 6 days after that. No, it was about 8 days after that. Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's okay. The point of what they're saying doesn't change. And
yeah, it happened. That's
right,
the point.
Exactly. Yeah. So, with that, maybe next time just a story that kind of goes along with a video that I watched recently of a Jewish person who had come to Christ, who was telling his story to another Jewish person and how Christ had revealed himself to him. So I'll share that next time, and we'll see where else this takes us on the Growing in Grace podcast.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.